Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. We'll read about that glorious account, Pentecost and the days following, where profound fellowship and communion marked the life of the early church. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47, I'll read it out loud and ask you to follow along silently. Listen with due diligence, for this is God's inspired word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This ends the reading of God's holy word. Let us pause for prayer. O Lord, we pray before your word is preached, because we need the reminder that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. So we pray that you would build your house, that you would build your church, such that the gates of hell would not prevail against her. We know that means and constitutes fellowship in the church. We cannot manufacture it, Lord. We can hear it in our head, but it must travel 12 inches down to our hearts. So we pray that would happen even this evening through the mystery and the beauty of preaching. We pray that we would be particularly mindful tonight, and that we would resolve in our hearts to do that which we have heard, that we would be both hearers and doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Help us to look in the mirror, but then not go straightway and forget what manner of man we are. Rather, O Lord, may we be blessed in the doing of the perfect law of liberty. Thank you, O Lord, for hearing our prayer. We humbly pray in and through the name and power of Jesus, and let us say amen. Well, fellowship is a wonderful topic in the New Testament. You'll see that it's a leading feature in the early church. They knew how to fellowship. We see the report in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I just read it. I'll read verse 42 again. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Anyone know that Greek word? Throw it out. Yeah, koinonia. That's right, koinonia. It's a great word. It's been used many generations to describe electric church fellowship. Koinonia is a vital component to a healthy church. We need it, and we need it bad. I suppose that is why we confess it, and it's included in the Apostles' Creed. Each time we say, I believe in the communion of the saints. You see, this vital truth requires frequent experience if we are to thrive as a church. But sadly, just knowing that fact doesn't make it happen, does it? It has to translate into experience. So I begin tonight by asking the question, what is Christian fellowship? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is Christian fellowship, Christian communion, Christian koinonia? What does it mean to you? Well, to some of us, it means me get a drink of water here again. It's coming up. We should play that name the tune music or something while I do this. So to some of us, Christian fellowship is like loading a bus full of Christians to go down to Shipshawana. Right? That's pretty fun, right? And, imagine the coach in our parking lot. We all arrive, 6 or 7 in the morning. I don't know what time we'd have to leave, but you get the hint. And we load up the bus and head down for a great day. Now, if you're a younger candidate, that really hits some of us on the older scale. But to others, it means going down to the arena and packing 20,000 Christians into the arena with bright lights and great music. That's Christian fellowship. Well, to some of us who maybe we have little kids, and that doesn't sound that great either. Maybe a week at family camp. Or that annual trip to the conference grounds. But I pose you this fact. A great deal of what passes for Christian fellowship today is really little more than human friendship. Now, let me pause. Don't get me wrong. I love human friendship. It's awesome. I like to go out to eat with people or eat at their homes or have them in my homes. I like talking. I like working together, joking together, being together. I am a lonely person without friendship. You see, all human beings, whether Christian or not, are crafted in the image of the triune God. We are crafted in the image of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that is why we love and crave relationship. In fact, that's why, in general, human society looks with puzzlement at hermits and recluses. They mystify us. They're odd. Because human nature, by nature, is social. But, and listen to me closely, human friendship is not the same as Christian fellowship. And so if you and I think a good trip to Shipshawana or a great Christian music concert is Christian fellowship, that is not a good sign. Because you see, it's not a good sign when someone sees no difference between chewing candy and eating a square meal. In the same way, it's not a good sign when Christians see no difference between social activities and Christian fellowship. So what is it? Christian fellowship means sharing the things of Christ in common. Sharing the things of Christ in common. We see it described in this passage right here, verses 42 through 47. It includes all these things. It includes, verse 42, breaking bread together. It includes praying together. In verse 43, we see it includes being filled with awe together. Seeing the acts of God done in our midst together. In verse 44, we see that it means believing in Christ together and holding the things of Christ and even possessions in common. It involves providing for each other's needs. In verse 46, it's being glad together. It's praising God together. It's being noticed by other people around us together. And so there's a world of difference between this experience and mere social activity. Here's another way to say it. Christian fellowship is eager, excited, expectant sharing of Jesus with one another. It means that we celebrate our union with Christ. Isn't it great to be a Christian? It means we talk about His love regularly. Do you know what God did for me this week? It means we point to the future in Christ. I can't wait for Christ to come again. It means we fret about our fellow man together. Did you hear from Sister So-and-so this week? How is she doing? It means we care about the lost together. How can we together reach them? And so let me pause to say this. If you've never experienced this, if you've never experienced this eager, excited, expectant, electric experience of Christian fellowship, then you are to be pitied. We are to be pitied. Now let's pause for a minute and pose an objection. Some of you say, you know, Pastor, I used to want that. Back when I was younger, back when I was ideal, back when I had energy, I used to share the things of Christ with other Christians, but something happened. I just don't do it anymore. I don't know why. Maybe I got busy. Maybe somebody hurt me at church a while back, and I've decided to give that Christian fellowship thing a rest. I don't trust anybody. Well, you're not alone. Jesus, in love and kindness, rebuked the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:15 because she had lost her first love. She thought she was mature when she was spiritually bankrupt, because it is possible to lose the art of koinonia. And see, this is what happens at church. When we lose the art of koinonia, the only close substitute that we can think of are social activities. And so the church can get desperate and become a Sunday park and rec program. Activities and programs can fill our lives, and yet we drift further from Jesus and sharing Jesus with one another. We get leaner every day. We keep trying to experience fellowship, and it only frustrates us and makes us hungrier, and so we give up. We say, I guess this doesn't work. In fact, after a while, people can get hostile to suggestions of koinonia. Ah, we tried that before. That's from the last generation. Peer pressure and church culture can develop and sabotage koinonia, sharing the things of Christ together. So this brings us tonight to our second point, and it's this, and it's hindrances to koinonia, to fellowship. What is hindering us? What's keeping us from having that same Acts 2 verse 42 experience week by week in our experience together? Well, tonight I'm going to pose three bad habits that are plaguing the modern American church and is killing our koinonia, our sharing Christ together. And I'm going to share a Bible verse that will remedy each bad habit. All right, here's the first one. It's going to sound pretty basic, but we often lose by failing to follow the basics. Firstly, Christian fellowship will never grow if we quit talking about spiritual things. Seems like a no-brainer, and yet, how often does it happen? You know, some of us are experts at talking about anything and everything except God. We can talk about sports, politics, local government. In fact, some of us get the gift of gab when it comes to talking about the sale at Family Fair this week, or that big Saturday tent sale at Gemmons. Now, these topics have their place. In fact, I was telling Lynn, you know, gas is it was $2.91. I said that on the drive to church this morning. Well, it hit $3 here in Jenison. Hey, you know, that happens. We talk about those things. Some of us have talked about the nosedive of the stock market. But you see, these topics don't qualify as koinonia. If these are the only things that we are talking about at church, then we are failing in sharing the things of Christ with one another. And our hearts will not burn within us to be together. We won't feel his presence. The weight of earthly things will not be lifted from our shoulders. Christ will stand at the door and knock and knock and knock while no one lets him in. Revelation 2:20. So dear church, let's resolve to do otherwise. The gospel is not classified information. You're allowed to share it. You are not breaking any policy by sharing gospel truths. There's no federal law against it from leaking your faith to one another. All right, so let's pause a minute. And some of you may be saying, well, Pastor, I don't know what to say at church that talks about God. I feel weird. I feel self-conscious. I feel like I'm being holier than thou. Well, here is the remedy that is quite simple. Every Sunday before coming to church, gather one thought you want to share with somebody. Bring a little manna to church. Something you've seen God do this past week. Maybe it's something you read in your Bible. Maybe it's a prayer you prayed and you got an answer, or you didn't get an answer, but you're praying for it. Maybe it's some truth you're pondering and musing over. You walk into church that Sunday, you find somebody you think would benefit from it, and you share it with them. You can say, you know what I've been thinking about this week? I don't know, that's a good opener. What have you been thinking about this week? Or do you know what I've been praying about this week? No, what have you been praying about? Do you know what I'm struggling with this week? No, what? No one's going to lynch you for saying that. It might not turn out to be a deep conversation like you had hoped, but at least you got the koinonia thing going. And if you can't think of anything, or, I must admit, sometimes we come to church on Sunday and we're just happy to have gotten there. Not to mention, have we thought about what we'll say to somebody? Well, here's a good hint. If you're too busy to prepare and you don't have anything in your noggin to share, talk about the sermon. I know it's crazy, but you know, you can take my second class preaching and improve it if you together would expand on the sermon. God would take my feeble words and your profound reflections and make that sermon a work of art in the hallway. Let's talk about spiritual things. Here's your Bible verse. Are you ready? This is the remedy. It's a simple one. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto one another unto love and good works. Now, I want to thank many of you at church for doing this. I want to thank you if you're in my men's group on Wednesday mornings and Wednesday nights. You brothers do this to me every week. My Saturday morning leadership group, you guys rock. I love a prayer meeting this afternoon. If you could have been with the elders and just drank in encouragement and prayer. Elders and deacons, when we get together and talk about the things of God, you bless me. You provoke me to love and good works. You pray with me. You talk with me. You share your answered prayers. You pray for my prayers. You tell me what God's doing in your life. You're my breath of fresh air. Thank you. Don't think your labor is unnoticed. It sweetens the coffee cup of koinonia. And I thank God for you. All right, bad habit number two, or hindrance number two. Secondly, fellowship will not thrive at church if we always talk about ourselves and our pet topics. Have you ever noticed some of us have one string fiddles, and we play the same string every week? People smile at us on the outside and they're groaning on the inside. Oh, here comes so-and-so. I never get a word in edgewise. Oh, here comes that guy. He's always talking about such and such topic, whatever that topic means. Sometimes we expand from one topic and one string to three topics. We talk about me, myself, and I. And sometimes we add a fourth. So enough about me. What do you think of me? Yeah. So enough's good measure. I don't know about you, but I like to change music channels every now and then. Small-minded fellowship gets old fast, and so here's our Bible verse. Are you ready? The remedy. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their need, that it may benefit those who listen. There's our remedy. The remedy of self-absorption and small-mindedness is to do some fresh thinking, reading, and learning, to search for truth in new pastures, not your tired old grazing grounds. Inquire what God is teaching others in other places, share with them, and enjoy. Can I tell you, though, that one topic that never grows old? In fact, if you're going to have a one-string fiddle, this is the one topic that never grows old in church. Are you ready? Sharing about your experience of God never gets old. The topic of God can never be tiresome because God has no limits. My favorite sports team has limits. My view of politics has limits. But not God. We could talk about his providence all day, the things he did this week to flaunt his glory, and we'd never run out. We can talk about God's answers to prayers. What's really fun is when you tell the story about how you prayed something and you really didn't expect it to happen and you pretty much doubted it, and then boom, he answered it and with great flying success. Talk about your enjoyment of God. Talk about your emotions, how you feel about God. Talk about something that's like bending your mind about God and try to explain it to your friend. Talk about your reflections of God and why you started thinking about it in the first place. You see, some of you are soaring to new heights, and the rest of us on planet Earth would like to soar with you. Tell us so we can join you. I promise to try not to envy you. I'll promise to try to not judge you. I just want to ride on your coattails and know God a bit better. Now, this, I believe, was a Puritan strength. The Puritans wrote extreme amounts about talking together of divine things. A basic activity of the Puritan family life was to share deep thoughts about God and deep feelings about God and write poetry about God and essays and stories about God. Family members would actually ask one another, "What could you thank God for today? Name one thing about God that impresses you today." Over time, you get better. Over time, it gets richer, deeper, less awkward, more fun. You know, the Puritans also urged one another in their writings from time to time to pray to God to provide a person in your life whom they call a bosom friend. Somebody who really gets you, who will listen to your deep thoughts, they won't dismiss, they won't criticize. Someone who can pray for you without envy or without condescension. One who can keep you accountable and help you glow. That's what John Wesley called it later on. Some bosom friend to help you maintain your glow. Now, I'll admit those friends are not easy to find. But if you keep asking God, not only one for you, but your kids, your spouse, your family. You see somebody struggling in church and you just say, "I wish somebody would love them like I've loved their kid." You pray. You keep praying and you ask God to knit their hearts together with somebody, as he did for Jonathan and David, as he did for Ruth and Naomi, and God may grant that request to you. Finally, and last bad habit, hindrance number three, to our communion. Fellowship will not be enhanced when we relax so much that our tongues run away from us. You ever had that happen? You know, you're having a good time, and then later that day, you have that painful feeling, you know, that said, you know, two or three times, my tongue just got away from me. Because you see, it's so intoxicating when somebody listens to you. Do you know how few people get listened to in a week? We talk at one another, we bark at one another, we give orders and express desire, but to really listen to you, sometimes it's a buzz. And we get so intoxicated with the joy of fellowship that we start laughing and jesting and we gossip more like fools than Christians. And later our conscience says, I went too far. But on the other hand, let's not be wet blankets with each other. You know, maybe you don't like it when a brother or sister lets loose a bit. Cut them a break. Sometimes people need relief from their burdens. They need release from pressure. The human spirit will snap if it doesn't sometimes bend. I think of that when David was so excited, he danced before the ark in 2 Samuel 6, verse 20. And let's not be like his wife, Michal, who was sour and critical and despised David because David was acting crazy and in ecstasy before the Lord. There's a place for wholesome jubilation. Let's not squash it. Let's not drive jubilance to depression and run koinonia out of the church. So we close tonight, dear church. I want you to repeat after me. I believe in the communion of the saints together. I believe in the communion of the saints. The Bible says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So brothers and sisters, let's walk in the light together and get a good tan. And let all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the sweet fellowship of the saints, the early koinonia of your church that for millennia, centuries and millennia, your church has looked back with fondness as a paradigm to be pursued in every generation. We know, Lord, we have so many sins and habits that squash it, but you're still merciful and faithful to help us in our time of need. And so today, in an age when true friendship and transparent fellowship and deliberate hospitality is faltered and people are lonely and hurting and bottled up and feeling pain, we pray that you would, during this age of temptation, make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. Renew our koinonia. Renew our fellowship. And in so doing, we will give you the glory and the honor and the praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And let us all say, amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.